Today we're going to continue with our series on creation, and we're going to finish off the last part of day six of creation. Let's gather around there in prayer before we come to the Word. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, you are the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last. All that exists exists because of you. You are the creator, the righteous judge, and the eternal saviour. Lord, as we come around your word this morning, I pray, Father, your Holy Spirit is here to minister and to meet every need, no matter what that need is, be it physical, spiritual, or mental. Father, I thank you, Lord, that as the word of God is preached, that you would confirm your word in our midst this day. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Prolific authors Bob and Debbie Gass once wrote, "The church isn't made up of people who are better than everybody else. It's made up of people who want to be better than they are. And to know that, by the grace of God, they can be." And family, isn't it wonderful to know that our faith is not a blind faith? And although we are certain of our eternal future in Jesus Christ, and all because of his demonstrated love towards us, our response is not to lord it over others, as it were, but simply to share or spread abroad the hope of our faith compassionately, in the hope that they too might be saved. In fact, God's first choice has always been to love every descendant of Adam ever since the world began. Even the word creation is by definition an expression of unfailing love. When one considers the magnitude and the intricacies of what the God of love planned and prepared for each and every one of us way back at the very beginning, the very thought of creation should confirm within the human heart that we are his precious children, indeed special in his sight. And I thank you, dear Lord, that you have created within each of us, that is, those of us who have accepted you as our Lord and Saviour, an ability to release and to express our love not only to others, but towards you as well in return. Indeed, our new life in the Spirit as born-again believers embraces the love of God not just as an acknowledged fact, but as an experienced reality. A reality that spells relationship. Relationship through daily communion and even daily intimacy with the Almighty. Yes, family, thank God that with every fibre of our being, we can, as it were, kiss the very cheek of our Heavenly Father with the spiritual lips of our heart. An emotional response that I would describe as being wrapped with gratitude and appreciation. Yes, a love that stretches far beyond the capacity of words. After all, we human beings are not a physical body with a spirit attached. No siree. We are a spirit being that just happens to live in a physical body. And God, who is a spirit, can only be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Family, whether our neighbours accept the spiritual reality of God or not, not one of them would ever deny the existence of love. And although just like God, no man can see love either, all men desire to love and to be loved. Yet the only feasible explanation for the origin of love is God himself. For God, as we're told in the scriptures, is love. And therefore, love is defined as being the driving force behind God's creative nature. It's the very thing that continues to hold this crumbling and dying world together until the day God comes back to earth to restore everything to its original perfection. If I were to stand before you today and speak about life in terms of evolution being responsible for the existence of the human species, nowhere, I stress nowhere in my lengthy dialogue, would there be a place reserved for the use of the word love. For nowhere contained within the many theories of evolutionary beginnings is there a need to mention love as an integral component explaining our origin. But you see, family, friends, without the embrace of love as a motivator in everything we believe and do, our hearts flounder in error, for they remain dreadfully dark and dreadfully wicked. They rejoice only in one's own wisdom and righteousness, but yet remains void of true life. We could call them the walking dead. For those hearts reject the revelation and the gift of eternal life, the true life that only proceeds from the life giver himself. And so, as we continue to investigate the story of creation, that is, the account contained within the pages of the book of Genesis, and written down by the prophet Moses after he had been told them by the only eyewitness to the origin of life, that is, God himself, let's conclude the events of day 6. As we finished off last time, we had begun analysing 4 highlights from Genesis 1 verses 26 and 27. And the first point we had looked at was the makeup of God himself. When we look at the first overhead, we discover that the one and only true God describes himself as a monotheistic God. That is, one being, but surprisingly, with more than one personality. Indeed, the Bible reveals that God expresses himself in 3 united and inseparable persons, described as the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. This week, we'll continue to look at the last 3 points from Genesis 1, 26 and 27. That is, the fact that man is made in God's image, that dominion was given to man by God, and that only male and female together make up God's divine order for mankind so that they might multiply and be fruitful. Let's read the passage in question. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And so the second point from Genesis 1 verse 26 and 27 is the revelation that man was made in the image of God as Father, God as Son, and God as Holy Spirit. 3 personalities in one being. And therefore, it's not surprising that the New Testament describes man as 3 in one as well. Body, soul, and spirit. In other words, we were created in the likeness of God himself. Just ponder that for a moment. In the very likeness of God himself. Only mankind has ever been granted that honour in all of creation. The word image in Hebrew also applies that we are shaded by God's love. A picture that infers a very strong bond or relationship between God and man. And the implications that ride along with men being made in the image of God are significant. Consider God's statement concerning man immediately after what is commonly known as the fall in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 3:22. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever." God then drove out the man from the garden, and God placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep or protect the way of the tree of life. Let's now combine this revelation with God's statement in Genesis 11, 5 and 6, a time well after Adam and Eve were removed from the garden. It reads as this: "But the Lord God came down to look at the city and the tower of Babel the people were building. Look, God said, the people are united, and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them." What an incredible admission by God. "Come," said God, "let us go down and confuse the people with different languages. Then they won't be able to understand each other." That still happens today, doesn't it? Oh, except for Deborah and I. We understand. We understand ourselves perfectly. Family, friends, a lot of water has flown under the bridge since the days of Genesis. Consider the achievements and failures of mankind, even in the presence of division and confusion. God was right when he freely admitted man can achieve anything he sets his mind to. He can do the most incredible good. He can care for the sick. He can show compassion for the elderly, and aid the disabled, and protect the young and vulnerable. But sadly, at the very same time, and as history reveals, and even the events dominating our news channels today confirm, man can and will continue to perpetrate the most abominable evil as well. And why? Because although we are made in the image of God, and therefore just like our dad in heaven, we are unfettered vessels. We're loose cannons. For unlike our Father in heaven, who is the one eternal, sinless, holy and perfect in every way, we suffer a sin nature. A nature naturally rebellious, and a nature inherited from our ancestor Adam. In other words, we are unstable in all our ways. Yes, God has created us in his image, and whether we choose to achieve or choose to be destructive, without us welcoming his intervention into our lives, we shall all, good and bad, eventually perish. Now, the third point that rises from the scripture focus in Genesis 1, 26 and 27 is the concept of dominion. Let's read it. "And let's them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Of course, not many of us need to be told what the word dominion means. But this Hebrew word grants mankind the right to rule, to dominate, to tread down, to subjugate, and to prevail over all the earth. And in today's world, we are being told that because of the need for sustainable development, the vast majority must surrender our God-given freedom and entitlements to a few faceless men who will make all the decisions for us. I particularly speak of the insidious growth industry known as environmental protection. Nowhere in this constant march towards supposedly saving our planet do I read or hear about God's inclusion in the plan. Nowhere. Yet in the beginning, God gave man individually ownership of the world, and man was to look at it diligently in union with God, and to look after it as would a loving, kind and generous king in ruling over his subjects and his land. But as we discover later in Scripture, man handed over or surrendered his dominion to Satan in the Garden of Eden. And it took the death of Christ on the cross at Calvary for God to wrest back what he had given to us and for our benefit on day six of creation. Indeed, the only dominion man will now ever have restored to him from this time onward is the dominion we receive by faith when surrendering our lives to Jesus Christ, thus making us heirs of salvation and joint heirs with Jesus. As sons and daughters of the living God, we will then be invited to rule and reign with Jesus, our Redeemer, over the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. And because Christians only bow their knee to Christ our Saviour, Christians have become the most dangerous people group on earth. That is, to those who are attempting to establish a new world order. The damage done to our world when Adam and Eve disobeyed God remains, I believe, by far a mystery beyond our imagination, and it is a far more complex conundrum to solve than we could have ever supposed. Yet, even in the face of mounting opposition, God's plan of redemption is gaining momentum. Hallelujah. And the day of Christ's return is closer than we imagine. Have patience, my precious children, and trust me, I will return, saith the Lord. Today we live in a world that continues to decay and to breed more and more hostilities. Contrary, of course, to modern man's claim that because of more and more education, more and more tolerance, and more protection and controls, everything is getting better. And therefore they are then championed as the only saviours for mankind. What this evolutionary philosophy overlooks, once again, are the issues concerning the human heart. And the only document, religious or otherwise, on planet Earth that adequately deals with the challenges of the heart is the Bible. Yet this is the book the powers to be discourage us from opening. For if we were to open its pages and ponder its promises, we would discover how God's gift of dominion is to be restored to his children. And the powers of the world do not want us to know that. And when I say us, I mean corporately as a people. And so to explain the reason why tensions are continuing to escalate everywhere. That is, between nations, between people groups, between religions, between communities, and even between family and friends, is to understand that the prince of the air, Satan, is not yet bound, and therefore he continues to distract us from the love of God, to encourage mankind to put his faith in ourselves and to do everything our way instead of God's way, whilst at the same time tempting us into more and more sin. Friends, our only hope is Jesus. Therefore, our prayer remains, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and restore this creation back to the perfection it was at the end of day six and at the very beginning of day seven. Now my final point that I want to mention from Genesis 1, 26 and 27 is the reality that God created us male and female. And he's done that deliberately to achieve his divinely ordained purposes. When Adam prophesied in Genesis 2 verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh," the institution of God's ordained marriage between one man and one woman was sealed in heaven forever. It was a picture pointing men towards God's eternal plan concerning relationship. A relationship that will into eternity be between Jesus Christ, the husband, on the one hand, and his bride, more commonly known as the church or the body of Christ, on the other. That's the reason behind it. A relationship between God and man cannot exist in any other way. Therefore, for Christians, or anyone else for that matter, to condone any relationship other than that ordained by God is foolishness, and we do it at our own peril. Genesis 2 verse 28 reads, "And God blessed them, man and woman, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish," or in the Hebrew, "fill to the brim the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And so God's purposes for mankind were fully established and set in concrete on day six of creation. Indeed, day six saw all land animals, children, including dinosaurs, created with human beings, yes, on the very same day. And God blessed his creation and commanded them to subdue the earth and to multiply after their own kind. Genesis 1 verse 31, "And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." All glory be to the Creator of heaven and earth. Now, with creation complete, next time we'll consider the fascination surrounding day seven. And look at why God did not end day seven with the same way that he ended day six, five, four, three, two, and one. Until then, allow me to leave you with the compelling words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. John 8, 32 and through to 42. "Then said Jesus, If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make or set you free. Let me tell you the truth," said Jesus. "Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. If you believe God is your Father, then you would love me," says Jesus, "for I proceeded forth and came from God. I didn't come of my own accord, but he sent me." Friends, to know Jesus Christ, who is the love of God, the creator of the world, and to know him as our personal Lord and Saviour, is the only remedy for a confused and troubled human soul. He alone can release us from the house of sin and make us a permanent member of God's family. Allow me then to encourage everyone listening to this message to call out to Jesus today and ask him to forgive you of your sins and to save you from eternal damnation and to write your names in the book of life. Once you have done that and have done it with all your heart, then I challenge you to determine also to follow Jesus as only a son or daughter could ever do. God love you and God bless.